Chell Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist. She lives here in Cook County and joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Chell.
Hi, Jay.
It seems to me this time of year can be the coldest time, but we still have birds around. So who's here and how do they survive the cold?
Oh, yeah. How do they survive the cold? It's amazing, isn't it, to look out if you have a bird feeder or if you're just walking through the woods and to see those wonderfully animated and beautiful forest and yard dwellers cheering up the winter woods and just seem so kind of fragile and small in comparison to the winter cold and snow, but they do it very well, quite elegantly, I would say. And how do they do it? Well, you know, most of our birds that are here in the summer would be able to survive the winter if they could find enough fuel to keep their furnaces going. But because birds are suited to certain kinds of food resources and they're adapted to those and have evolved to capitalize on particular food resources, if those foods disappear, well, then they don't really have a choice about staying or not. They have to leave. So in the summer, for instance, when we have many, many species of wood warblers living all around us and thriving, they're really exclusively adapted to feed on insects. But because they are exclusively kind of keyed into insects, when the insects begin to diminish in late summer, early fall, they have to follow the insects. Even though we have insects around in the winter, dormant insects hiding in various places and under the snow, they're many, many fewer than when they're all hatched out, as we well know, in the summertime, and much harder to find. So the amount of energy that you'd have to expend as a warbler to track down enough insects to stay warm isn't going to happen. So you'd make the trade-off and take those rigorous migration routes that present their own sets of threats. So the birds that stick around here, chickadees, of course, and nuthatches, and woodpeckers, and grosbeaks, so a couple different kinds of grosbeaks, sometimes crossbills, pine siskins, goldfinches, these birds that are regular winter inhabitants here, they are birds that are not only have some physical adaptations that help them survive the winter, but really importantly, they are ready to eat what is available.
I'll bet they're seed eaters.
Many of them are seed eaters. No bird is really exclusively a seed eater, but some are very elegant seed-eating machines, and those would be the grosbeaks and the crossbills. But they also feed on the buds of conifers, for instance. So a grouse is another good example of a bird that really eats a lot of seeds, but they also go and browse the buds. So you see a grouse doing its little aerial dance up on some branch in the top of an aspen or a birch, and they're going out on those little branches and looking for the buds and picking off the buds as well as the seeds.
Well, what about birds that come to like suet feeders, mm-hmm. like woodpeckers and nuthatches mm-hmm. and chickadees? Mm-hmm. Is there something that is naturally available to them that is fat?
Sure, yeah. So birds like chickadees and nuthatches are not as exclusively oriented to seeds and buds. They eat a lot of seeds wherever they can find them. They are also really good at finding and consuming hiding insects that might be eggs laid on branch tips. They might be insects that are down in the crevice of the bark of a tree, you know, spending the winter in a dormant state. So chickadees and nuthatches and woodpeckers are all good observers and looking constantly, searching for those hiding insects. And then they're also willing to take part in any kind of a carrion feast that's available. So that's where fat and meat scraps that people put out will be visited. Dead deer, you know, that have either been killed by predators or by hunters, gut piles left by hunters during the hunting season, deer dead at the side of the road, are visited by birds of all kinds that are willing to partake in whatever meat, fat that's there because their bodies can utilize that source of fat and protein. But not all birds can do that. And every season is a buffet of one kind or another. And every bird that stays, every animal that stays, is partaking of the buffet in one way, shape, or form.
There are still some berries on bushes and trees.
Right. They'll invest some energy in going after fruit. not their preferred food, but they like a little variety in their diet too. Some birds, like the occasional robins that we see, especially around town, and Bohemian waxwings, which come from further north, like the pine grosbeaks do, to spend the winter in balmy northeastern Minnesota. Waxwings, cedar, and Bohemian waxwings, that fruit is very important to them. And robins that choose to stay, it's a gamble. It's a big gamble, really. They may choose to stay, and then they're going to be really focusing on fruit. That's what's going to get them through the winter. So they might attach themselves to a flock of waxwings because that helps them find those resources and capitalize on the fruit that's there. And that would be one reason why we'd see them more down here along the shore, where we not only have mountain ash berries, you know, naturally, but also lots of fruit trees planted in people's yards that those particular birds can go after. A couple of big advantages to making it through the winter here, if you're a robin, for instance, but any bird really, is one, you avoid the hazards of migration, which, as we've talked about before, are not small. Another big advantage is that you have the best shot at the best territories in the spring because you're already here. You're way ahead of the game, you know, so you can stake out the best territories and you can get started breeding earlier. So in the case of some birds like robins that can raise a brood fairly quickly, they have a better chance at multiple broods, right?
Birds don't develop more down, do they, or whatever?
Well, they have winter plumage, which is not just a change in color, but is some qualitative difference in their feathered coat. But they use their coat all year long to control, to thermoregulate. So when we see them all fluffed up, that's how they add air between all those layers of feathers, and that helps insulate their bodies better. They have to have both behavioral adaptations to spend the winter here, as well as some physical adaptations to help them survive the winter.
Chell Anderson, botanist and plant ecologist, thanks for helping us understand what's going on with winter bird survival.
You're very welcome.